gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kind of important not to knock any of this stuff over with all the electronics around.
That's important. Listen, Jim's drinking now. I decided to just bring it down here. I have a show to host.
The bar is open.
Actually, cocktail waitress the whole morning, for God's sake.
Do you have an ice maker down here?
No, I do not.
This is just how it starts. The bar creeps into you. And then you slowly become one with the bar.
And I am blowing my whole, because I'm the only one not drinking.
No, I'm not drinking.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, given my reputation.
Yeah.
Right. I'm really drunk that's not drinking.
Right.
I'm not actually a drunk. I just play one
on
the radio.
Not a drunk.
I am not a drunk.
All right. Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, is here all 3 hours. And because she's probably frustrated she can't drink in her parents' retirement community. So you're just going to slam them back this morning.
The Villages has a lot of drinking going on, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of medication. And that's
why
everyone's
in there.
Oh, you just can't
sleep there. But you can't get really drunk because you can't sleep there if you're under 55.
Right. Well, they think that I could start some sort of crazy party, I guess, is what.
Right.
Yeah. But the drinking could get out of hand. They're allowed to drink because they all pass out by 7:30 and they drive golf carts.
Yep.
It's utopia, really.
Sounds like me.
Yeah.
Oh, when my grandparents lived in a retirement community, they taught me how to make highballs for them. So, yeah, there's a lot of drinking.
And there is no job, so it's always the happy hours actually start at 8.
Wow.
Because they can't get anybody to go out after 8. So, like, alcohol is just free if you can stay up long enough. And long enough means 8:30. I'm the last lady at the bar. It's like 9 o'clock. I'm like, when does everybody get here? They're like, they're gone, honey.
They're gone. They're done.
I'm like, well, see, clearly I'm capable of mayhem. Because I plan on sitting here until 1:30 or whatever. I get kicked out.
My grandparents lived in Sun City in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And I was shocked to see that the lawns were just rocks.
Yes.
No one had a lawn.
Exactly.
Awesome. Awesome. Jim, we've never had Jim drink on the show before, though. You know what he's going to be? He's going to turn into that 9/11 truther that interrupted the Super Bowl. That guy. He's going to, the government. Oh, my God. That guy. What was that about?
I don't
Yikes.
Know. Dude, you got to move on with your trutherness. Like, that story, there's got to be one more current. If you're going to grab the mic and go for
right.
it, isn't there something else? Because you've kind
right.
of already said
some
that
John
one.
Wilkes Booth theory, something.
Something.
Isn't there something that you'd
a
like?
A twist.
All right.
Not more recent than 9/11, John Wilkes Booth.
Right. I was making an more dated reference. I was going. Okay. All right. Chris Christie yesterday.
As I said at the time of January 9th when I did my press conference, I still don't know whether there was a traffic study.
Don't know at this point whether there was a traffic
well,
study.
Well, what I'm saying, Eric, is did this start as a traffic study that then morphed into some political shenanigans?
Oh.
Or did it start as political shenanigans that became a traffic study? There's information that was given to the legislature about counts of easy pass, about wait times and all the rest of that was done, that at the time seemed to indicate to me that there was a traffic study.
And what was the significance of the 8th versus the 9th? Because he corrected himself awfully quickly.
Yeah, right.
Ninth. I never said 8th. You're nuts.
Don't you like the word shenanigans? It makes it sound so harmless.
Yeah. So silly. Like we just went out and, toilet papered a tree of the neighbor. Okay. Oh, there's been some shenanigans.
I don't think that's what you call it in Jersey.
No.
Yeah. Shenanigans something. And he just seems remarkably unaware of everything for being the governor of the state, doesn't he?
Well, how do you not know it even happened? I mean, you would just have some friend that was in traffic texting going, you're not going to believe this morning. If you were a normal human being,
right.
you would have watched the news that night.
It smells so BS-y to any normal human.
I had no idea.
Can you imagine someone shuts down the 405? We're doing a traffic study.
Right.
Ooh, traffic sucks. Who could have seen that coming?
Right.
Yeah. It's okay.
Everybody's pleading the fifth, though.
Yeah, and who does that kind of traffic study? Because it was gridlock in northern New Jersey because
for four
of this.
Days.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not a traffic study. That's shenanigans.
Turns out there's a lot of traffic. No one can get anywhere. Huh. It's an important study.
Here's the thing that I find so interesting, because what's going on now with all this other stuff is just a game of gotcha.
So interesting.
When did I first learn about this or that? Well, the fact of the matter is, I've been very clear about this.
Uh-huh.
Before these lanes were closed, I knew nothing about it. I didn't plan it. I didn't authorize it. I didn't approve it. I knew nothing about it.
Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. Mistakes were made by somebody else.
Right.
I'd also like to know why he doesn't pronounce L's. Poetical. What is with that accent?
Poetical.
Hanging out with
poetical.
Tom Brokaw.
Yeah, I have friends that live in Jersey. They don't talk like that.
No.
It's not a Jersey thing.
That's
Wayne.
Very cocky, actually. Political.
The New Jersey assemblyman that is behind the Christie investigation.
We know that there was an effort to try to conceal it and come up with a cover story. We have a suspicion as to who some of those folks are that were involved in it. There may be others. And we still need to drill into the facts here.
Yeah, he's either way toast if you've looked at any of the latest polls, right?
I don't know. I think something's good. There's going to have to be one more thing or people will forget about it. I do.
Yeah,
I think people will forget.
Even on the Sunday shows, and they're pretty, like, you know, the Beltway's been Christie fans, they're all saying we're not talking about 2016. We're talking about can he finish his term?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is he going to be impeached? Yada, yada. You were a Hillary girl.
I was.
You know Hillary's got to be laughing her ass off.
Dancing. So is Jeb Bush somewhere. He's dancing in his underwear.
By the way, did you see her Super Bowl tweet? Hilarious. She said it's so much more fun to watch Fox when it's someone else being blitzed and sacked. Hashtag Super Bowl. And so, of course, Fox News had to make a thing out of that, right,
yep.
Chris?
Yeah, they did.
Fox and Friends, the brain trust over there, and Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade and Gretchen Carlson argued on Monday the tweet actually referred to President Obama's interview with Bill O'Reilly. Oh, I say, is that a way to puff Bill O'Reilly yet up like he sacked President Obama or something?
Whatever.
Well, he talked over him.
Yeah.
She tweeted it during halftime, though, so it was well beyond
the time of the interview. That's what someone said.
Yeah.
Brian Kilmeade said, is she talking about Peyton Manning or is she talking about Barack Obama? I had the sneaking suspicion maybe she was talking about President Obama.
I have a sneaking suspicion you're an idiot.
It was a couple of hours after the interview. Twitter is immediate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they had one Democrat on that said that. The tweet came at halftime several hours after the O'Reilly interview. And she said she hopes O'Reilly will be interviewing President Clinton before the Super Bowl years from now.
Good.
And so do you, don't you, Kathleen? Yeah. You were Team Hillary early on.
I was Team Hillary very early on. And that was when Edwards was still in. My parents were for Edwards. And then their bus kind of got stuck in a ditch. And I'm like, now whose bus are you getting on? Jack and Vicky.
These two were on the Edwards bus.
I was totally Edwards.
I'm like, I don't know, I'm a girl. There's something a little too slick about
me. Me too. I never trusted them. And I didn't know why. And it's not like I could have predicted that.
Know.
I'm not saying, oh, I figured all that. I did not. I just didn't. I thought he was.
Me too.
Fly. There was
it's a girl thing, I'm telling you.
Yeah. He's the guy in the bar with the bad pickup line. You go, try again. No.
Wrong.
When I saw him fixing his hair that much before an interview, I'm like,
Yeah, never.
Something
I never
with pretty
bought
boy.
It.
It's too much.
I didn't buy it. Yeah.
At least you didn't wet a comb in his mouth like what's his face?
Oh, who did that?
Wolfowitz.
Wolfowitz.
Remember in Michael Moore's film about the run up to the Iraq War before he's going on TV to tell his lies, he was like
he's sucking on his comb and then
Wow, wait, five? That old man.
Man. Brian in Ohio, you're on with Kathleen. Hi, Brian.
Good morning,
Stephanie. Good morning,
friends.
Good morning.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about this rampant racism that's going on in this great country of ours.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people get so worked up about people speaking other languages and so on. It's like, you know, technically, you know, we came over from another country and forced our language on the people that were already here.
Right.
And apparently one of the languages was a Native American language. So,
we're the
foreigners.
And who? Technically, it's really not our country. It was their country. We saw it. We liked it. We took it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's if you believe in Indians.
Here, have some smallpox infected blankets. Yeah. Great.
You are a troublemaker.
We may have to cut some people off soon because.
And another thing.
That's what the right
Jim
would
gets
say.
Us in enough trouble without the booze.
They say there was no Native Americans here, just dinosaurs. Dinosaurs and rocks. Dinosaurs
and
rocks.
And
Jesus riding a dinosaur.
I believe in the Flintstones.
Yes.
Not different rocks, the same rock.
That's right.
And I believe the cat will stay up for the night.
That's right. Those were not Native Americans. Those were Mexicans that had walked far north without a map and walked home. Okay? Get it right, people. Get it right.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on with a very drunken Kathleen Madigan. Hello, Dave.
Not even close.
Did she bring enough for everybody? I mean, mimosas for everyone at the end. If I know you're too young to remember the musical South Pacific, Stephanie, but there's a great song in there called "You Got to Be Carefully Taught," and I'm going to suggest that the right wing, the Tea Partiers, whatever, you adopt that for their theme song. I don't know if you know about it. It's basically a song about racism, and you know, you've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. Of people who are oddly made, be afraid of those whose skin is a different shade, and kind of drummed into your head to hate. And what's interesting, when this musical first came out, it was actually boycotted by Southern lawmakers, saying it was the underlying philosophy inspired by Moscow. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And there's a worship of, you know, power, and the power will be assumed in any way they possibly can get it, which includes saying, if I'm white, I'm better than you. If I speak English, I'm better than you. Different is bad. And it's amazing, as much as we've learned in this country, how little the behavior has changed in the parts of some.
I love the we had a right-wing caller, Dave, I don't know if you heard him that recently. Jim, remember the one that said, if you people had your way, we'd be speaking British.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Wow.
They watched a movie, but they couldn't remember the line.
We do speak English. Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you. Herp and derp.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Why? Because we love it. Because it has saved our arse multiple times, right?
Yep.
We have in a previous life, we've lost sound bites, jingles, guest contact lists, all that stuff. Think of all the stuff you have in your computer that runs your business. You literally cannot run your business without all of them, right? Invoices, contact lists, documents, whatever it is, contracts. That's why you need Carbonite online backup. It backs up all those business computer files to the cloud automatically and continually, no matter how many computers your business has. Easy to set up. Then you just forget about it. Carbonite does all the work. All the files are stored securely offsite and encrypted before they leave your computer.
Right.
Okay. Ensures backup always is safe and up to date. Available only with the password you set up, and so affordable. Do it now. Carbonite.com. Type in my offer code Stephanie for a free trial. No credit card required. Plus 2 free bonus months with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code is Stephanie. We roll along with a loopy Kathleen Madigan.
Not yet. I'm getting there. Stay tuned.
Pour some more champagne for her.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Moving on to new business with active. Unmitigated evil shall the Republican Party undertake this week.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Shake what body?
It is the Stephanie Miller.
How many bodies are we talking about here?
23 minutes after the hour.
We have to unearth them first?
We are partaying with Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire. You're going to Jay Leno's last taping. Thursday?
Yes.
Kathleen Madigan, my last taping of the night show.
Yeah. I don't know who the guests are, but I've done it 25 times.
That's I know you have.
It is a lot. I'm very sad to see it. You know, people say what they want to say about the show or Jay or this or that, but they've all been very, very nice to me over the years. And let me tell you what, it's like going to the Four Seasons of talk shows compared to I go to others and there's nobody there. You get to the parking lot and nobody knows like where you're supposed to go. And you get
a dog and a mimosa here. I just want to point
out. This is close. This may be my new place. I haven't seen a gift bag yet, but I'm sure Fred's got one and there's a little Pyrenees puppy in it.
Or like the Motel 6 of talk shows. So we'll leave the light on for you and a mimosa.
It's very sad to see Mr. Leno go, on my part anyway. But I know people go, oh, well, you know, there's the criticism. I get it. But, I mean, come on. Is anybody that better than anybody else on late night?
I heard that Leno and Letterman are making up, or aren't they going on each other? One of some.
There's a rumor that they're gonna that right. one of them's gonna appear.
Appear,
on,
right?
Maybe Letterman will appear on Leno. Because I always felt like it was Letterman who had more of an issue. Like, when I would do Leno, he'd be like, I said, you care if I do Letterman? No, go do all the shows you want to. You gotta do everything. He never cared, but Letterman cared.
Why do you always turn him into a South Park character?
That's what he tried to do in front of his face, too. I remember one time he goes, where have you been? I said, oh, I went to Ireland for a festival, and then I just stayed for vacation for 2 weeks. Why would you do that? I said, Jay, I can't explain to you how to be a human in 5 minutes. Human beings go on vacation, and we drink, we don't care about work, and we sleep late, and that's what people do, but I know you take work much more seriously.
Right, well, you were saying that Kristen Chenoweth was singing? Or?
A couple weeks ago I did it, yeah. She was singing that song, Smile, that old-timey, you know.
So your heart is breaking.
The Charlie Chaplin
Smile.
Song.
So my friend Chark is like singing it to a cat. Jay has moved on already in his head. I got you all fucked. And you know what? That's a healthy attitude.
Look at your new job.
That's a healthy attitude in show business. You can't take it personally.
I got extra cars to work on. What do I do?
When you say you've been married to Mavis, whatever, 30-some-odd years, it's working out. It's working out pretty well. It's a healthy attitude if you can somehow get yourself to, especially in show business, because they're just going to keep screwing you, like he says, so you just have to accept that that's the deal.
And he can always sell his cars, you know, if he...
Yeah, he likes his cars.
Yeah, every time someone brings up the late night wars, he's always like, rich people whining.
He's right. It's a bunch of white guy millionaires fighting. Who cares? It's not a real problem.
That was a hell of a book, though, The Late Shift.
Yeah.
Actually, isn't it you and one of your siblings talks to each other entirely in the South Park character voices?
For 3 years, me and my brother. And then finally it just came down to noises, and that's when I said it has to stop. Like, I would call and go, and he'd go, and that we already knew what that meant. That meant I'm tired, and that meant he's having a bad day and frustrated and wants to leave the office. Like, there was all this code, and I go, seriously, we're getting to be like those weird twins you see on shows where they have their own weird language, and then they shut the whole world out, and then they kill people. That's always the end. They start murdering people. I go, we have to stop talking like this.
See, this is what I think happened in Chris Christie's office. There was some sort of code that...
Yeah.
It meant revenge.
Don't watch his bridge.
But with air pistols.
I'm just saying, right.
There comes a point where you cross the line.
Come down to beeps and clicks, but people knew it meant shut the George Washington Bridge down. Screw that.
Right. See it in a court of law. Did you go, eh? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And did that mean close the bridge?
Wouldn't that be funny if we got audio tapes and that's it?
Hey, dude. What's going on? Just lose the bridge.
All right.
3 years.
This is what happens when Kathleen Madigan comes in and she drinks.
That's right.
And I'm sober.
We are drinking. I'm not drinking alone.
Go with Bob. Fred is GWB. Also do I make myself clear?
At least it took Kathleen an hour to down her first one. Jim's done with his in a half hour.
Listen, that's why I made it portable. I brought the
right
thing down. I'm like, I'm not running up and down the stairs. For Jim, I mean, you know, that's all I'm saying. All right, so we were talking about the Fox News and the Benghazi.
Uh-huh.
And here we go with Bill O'Reilly and Obama on that. The president and
when
Bill
you look at the videotape of this whole thing unfolding, this is not some systematic, well-organized process. You see...
It was heavy weapons used, and that's what heavy weapons
Bill,
coming in.
Bill, listen, I've gone through this, and we have had multiple hearings on it. What happens is you have an attack like this taking place, and you have a mix of folks who are just troublemakers. You have folks who have an ideological agenda.
All right.
You have some who are affiliated with terrorist organizations. You have some that are not. But the main thing that all of us have to take away from this is our diplomats are serving in some very dangerous places.
All right. So how is this your fault, is my point.
He always does that condescending, all right, doesn't matter.
All right.
So that's what you're going with?
Yeah. 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, right. All right.
All right. Sky's blue. All right.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Charlie Pierce on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is going to cause more confusion than
Stephanie Miller,
the burlesque show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Comedian Kathleen Madigan live in studio with us all 3 hours. We cannot locate Charlie Pierce presently. He might be flying. We might be. We're not certain.
En route to Montreal.
Exactly. We shall see if we can snag him at some point. Jim, why, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Jim's mimosa is empty.
Jim never has a second cup at home.
All right, Kathleen Madigan.
Not at 7:30 in the morning.
Speaking of being on the road, you were talking about you've obviously performed for the troops. You've gone to Afghanistan, right?
Yes, a bunch. Iraq, Afghanistan.
But
all
which troops?
Right. The Indians. Hello. I believe in them.
Now, because we were just talking about what a hellhole Sochi looks like,
yeah.
Right?
Man, you got to go online at Sports Illustrated article. Yeah.
Yeah, like the hotels are not even ready yet.
They're not even hotels, like where the press is staying and stuff. They're called. It's like, it reminded me of an Afghanistan base where it's just like building, and they're literally numbered. And then they're like, you're in building 2. Breakfast is in building 10. Oh. Like they're meaning there is no coffee here. There's nothing here. So in Afghanistan, you have to freeze your ass off to go to building whatever to try to get some horrible fake MRE. Breakfast. Yeah, like it wasn't even worth the walk. Like I just gave up. But this Sochi thing, like some people are checking into rooms and there's just stray dogs, which I would like. I'd be like, oh my God, baby, I'm bad for the
one. The ones that they haven't killed yet.
Yeah, and they're supposed
to. Wish you could airlift them out.
Right, they're supposed to be killing stray dogs.
Yeah.
But at least there's no gays. That's the important thing.
Right, absolutely, according to that
guy. Stray dogs, gays, what's the difference?
I have kissed every man here. No one responded. There are no gays in this town. Have you kissed them all?
There's no
check again. Yuri down at the donut shop said he didn't get a kiss.
There are no gays in the village. In case you haven't paid attention.
It's a disaster. Yeah. And I want to see if NBC is going to make it look fine. That's what I can't wait to see.
Of course
they are.
Is
corporate America going to sell out and say this is absolutely fine? Or are you going to tell us, look, this was a terrible idea, somebody's on the take, and Putin just ran away with all the rubles?
Oh, the camera died again. Gee.
Yeah.
Billion.
NBC paid a lot of money to showcase the Olympics. They are not going to showcase it in a bad way, I don't think.
Well, there's going to be some.
They're going to show shots of previous Olympics.
Yeah.
They'll be like palm trees. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Sochi is the only city in Russia where palm trees grow in the streets and parks.
Weird. For
the entire
Olympics.
Country is covered with snow, but they chose the only city that is not
for
to hold
winter
the winter
Olympics.
Olympics.
By the way, speaking of being on the road, speaking of winter, half country, you aren't going anywhere on the road back east, are you?
Yeah, I'm going to Richmond, and then I have to go to New York, and Sunday there's supposed to be a big snowstorm in New York.
Oh, boy.
I'm doing charity work, like a good Catholic girl.
I'm smart. I scheduled Phoenix for my next Sexy Liberal February 15th. Very exciting. Tickets almost gone for that. Madison tickets are gone for March, but we're going to make Friday will be the big announcement where the April show is. Albuquerque.
Yep.
Make it. We're breaking bad for Albuquerque in May 10th. And then we're also going to have a June announcement coming up very soon. Jill and Madison, by the way. Hi, guys. My laptop froze, so I got my Free Speech TV on my iPhone, and I can listen while doing tours in every room.
Wow.
She's got Stephanie Miller in her pocket.
Yeah.
And $20, presumably, in her
you
pocket.
You are her pocket pal.
And one hand in her pocket, and the other hand
is never having a taxi cab.
Exactly. Or Uber, if you're Kathleen Madigan and almost 3 sheets to the wind and has to get home.
Lyft, if you want it to be interesting and dangerous.
Exactly. All right.
Are we going to Mexico in this Mercury Tracer? This is the car I had in college. What's happening?
All right. Speaking of substances, we talked about, everybody obviously talked about Philip Seymour Hoffman, who I knew. Oh, yeah. I actually did theater with him back when I was a baby, when I was a baby DJ.
In the 80s.
Yeah. We were both in our 20s. And crazy talented back then, a really nice guy. Everyone was talking about one of the scary things for addicts, too, is that he was clean for like 23 years.
Yeah.
This is him on 60 Minutes.
I got sober when I was 22 years old. Yeah. So this was drugs or alcohol or both? Yes, all that stuff. Yeah. Anything I can get my hands on. Yeah. Yeah. I liked it all. Yeah.
And they're saying, I didn't realize this, that heroin use has gone up in the United States. Like, I saw a graph that is crazy.
Apparently it's cheaper. It's kind of like the same how you get with Oxycontin, but it's cheaper.
Wow.
So that's why people are turning to it.
Heroin in general seen a major surge in New York City, Long Island areas in recent years. So he had, I'm hearing reports of anywhere from 50 to 65 bags of heroin in his apartment.
Yeah. And I have a friend who 25 years ago was a heroin addict.
Yeah.
And he's been clean and sober for 25 years. But he said that if you have the means and if you have the money, you get that much at a time just so you have it on hand. It's like a cigarette smoker buying a carton of cigarettes. So you don't have to bother going down to the store to get it. You just have it on hand. You don't do it all at once.
Well, so we had this, I guess some of the things were stamped Ace of Spades and some were stamped Ace of Hearts, some of the bags. And because I think the other thing they're trying to determine is there's been some bad batches of heroin spreading around the country. Their combination of heroin and the opiate fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
Has been responsible for close to 100 deaths, they're saying, in New Hampshire to Washington State, including 37 in Maryland since September, or 24 in Pennsylvania. And I was mentioning, like, I had an ex-friend of a friend, but many, many years ago, that died of a heroin overdose. And that's always what you're wondering is, was it accidental? Wasn't it? By the time you're doing heroin, do you care if you live or die? Like, was this a bad batch of heroin? Was it accidental overdose? Was it?
Well, the autopsy report is preliminary report is coming out today, so we might know a little bit more today.
Sometimes I read last night that fentanyl is also in the propofol family, so it's like an anesthetic. But this one guy in Seattle was saying that when you first do anything with fentanyl, it's instant, like, calm. See, these are things I don't need to read because then I'm like, well, that sounds appealing. I mean, because he said it's like you just went to 12 hours in a spa. It just immediately goes, like, it doesn't last, and then the next thing you know,
I've recommended is mediocrity, which is what works for me. I think when you're not dealing with a lot of fame and money and all that,
just lay low.
A little bit of Chardonnay works.
Just stand like a couple more mimosas. Yeah. This day will be fine.
Too much talent, too much fame. Every is too much. You got to, if you stay at a certain level of,
but it's also
B-list, and I think
that's why you stick with alcohol, because someone checked this. That's the problem with drugs. That's why I won't do drugs. You never go into a bar and see somebody fall off a bar stool and go, oh, my God, what happened? Bad Bud Light. I don't know where it
must
came
be a
from.
Bad batch of Bud.
Bad Bud. Yeah, there are no bad batches of Bud. I mean, some get kind of skanky if they sit around, but that's your fault for not drinking it fast enough. That's your fault. Don't blame the Clydesdales.
Shouldn't have left that one in the mirror. Come on.
You can see the president has ignited this debate when he said, marijuana is, because of all the states that are legalizing, he said it's no more dangerous than alcohol. And everybody has a different opinion on what, and remember when we were kids, the big thing about marijuana, it's a gateway to other drugs like heroin and yada yada.
Terrible premise, though. I do a joke in my act where I'm like, when you were five and you stole a candy bar and you ate it and it was delicious, was your next thought, I'm going to kill a drifter? No. Not everything is a gateway to something else just because you enjoyed it.
I don't drink hard liquor. So wine has not been in fact, what was that thing I just read earlier? Wine, it's the classy people's way to get faced.
There you go.
I can pretend I'm classy. Look at you in your fancy glass.
I haven't moved to bourbon or anything. Even though there's tours, I've heard in Tennessee and Kentucky bourbon factories that interest me. But I don't really drink bourbon. It's not my thing. I don't move on.
Right, I see.
I never moved from cigarettes to pipes.
That is true.
By the way, never let the far right miss a tragedy to exploit, bashing Hollywood. Far right pundit actually blames Philip Seymour Hoffman's death on the broken leftist culture.
What?
What? Right. How did?
You know who? The little dweeb I always debate, Ben Ferguson, the right wing zygote.
He's gross.
Less than 12 hours after Philip Seymour Hoffman was found dead, conservative commentator Ben Shapiro. I'm his Mrs. Robinson.
Ben Ferguson or Ben Shapiro?
Ben Shapiro. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. Not Ben Ferguson. Ben Shapiro. It could have been him.
He's still gross.
Right. We don't take that part back.
Right.
Just an extra insult for a guy who's not involved right now.
He decided to mark the occasion by attributing Philip Seymour Hoffman's death to America's broken leftist culture.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means either.
He said his self-inflicted death is yet another hallmark of the broken leftist culture that dominates Hollywood, enabling rather than preventing the loss of some of its greatest talents. Libertarianism becomes libertinism without a cultural force pushing back against the penchant for sin. Hollywood has no such cultural force. In fact, the Hollywood demand is for more self-abasement, less spirituality, less principle, less standards. No one knows what sort
Fewer
of demons
standards.
Plagued Seymour Hoffman, but without a sound moral structure around those in Hollywood who have every financial and talent advantage, the path to destruction is far too easy. That is just so...
It's Hollywood that causes...
It's a long way to go.
Yes.
He had an addiction. He had a substance abuse problem, which a lot of Americans do. They always try to make this either political or moral judgment somehow.
And right-wingers never use drugs?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a
I
minute.
I wonder what Rush Limbaugh had to say about this.
Right. Maybe he's secretly part of the left-wing culture. Rush, maybe, and his people endorsed it. You go ahead and take all the oxycontin you need till your hearing bursts.
Yeah, and somebody made the point, too, that though he did a lot of movies, he was an actor. He was a stage actor. He was hardly sort of big Hollywood. I mean,
he wasn't a celebrity.
Right.
And so I heard someone say on the radio yesterday, actors live in New York. Celebrities live in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
He lived in New York.
Exactly.
Yeah, no one here is real. We're not even real sitting here.
No.
Right,
the dogs are real.
Right.
And Indians
are real.
We
are animatronic. The dogs are real.
We are animatronic.
We're like a show at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. We leave often enough to remain half real.
Not quite as classy as Chuck E. Cheese, but yes. I'm getting out the colored balls next. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along with Kathleen Madigan on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God! That's like my favorite show ever!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Do it.
Well, as long as it's auto-tuned.
Do it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Just go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and type in the promo code Stephanie. We are live in studio with Kathleen Madigan, who is nursing her mimosa.
Yeah, I have to behave. I do have to drive home.
Jim has decided to hold off for a moment.
Normally, Jim doesn't have a second mimosa this early in the morning.
Huh. Let's see, Dan in Syracuse says, Mama and the Mooks and Kathleen, great show this morning. Reminds me of that episode of WKRP in Cincinnati where Johnny and Venus drank heavily during the show to prove that reaction time slow down when you're drunk. By the end of the show, Venus was wasted and couldn't even complete the reactions test. Johnny was, on the other hand, completely sober and improved his reaction time, which caused the state trooper to start drinking. Classic. I picture Kathleen as Venus, Steph as Dr. Johnny Fever, and Chris, you can be the state trooper.
That's just what you got.
All right. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Wee.
Cartoon bird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Woo, tweet, tweet. Christine, you're on with Kathleen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I couldn't do the mimosas this morning. I just did the creme brulee and Irish something.
Oh, whiskey.
Because I'm Irish when I want to be.
Yeah.
All right.
You were talking about the tragic death of the actor. Well, I think people, those that have any idea about alcoholism or drug addiction is that when you pick up and when you pick up and relapse just where you left off. So if you were doing a bag of heroin a day, you're going to be doing a bag of heroin 10 or 20 years later when you relapse.
Oh, really? Because you know what, Christine? I heard one expert talking about the fact that he was, clean for so many years that reduced his tolerance so that could be what caused the overdose.
And that's not what it is at all. It's
really
the chemical, in your brain that reacts to never having enough, and one is never enough. And that's the same with, an alcoholic or a drug addict. Whatever your choice is, whatever you're using. And you go back to the last drunk, the last high. And that's what addiction, that's just how it works.
Yeah.
So if the man had 50 bags, no, he's not going to do 50 bags. But he's going to go to get that last high that he had 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's what's so sad, and it's a very sick disease, and it's a family disease. It affects everyone. So, and as we see, in the public, how they're reacting to his death. Nobody should be surprised if you pick up a book on alcoholism or drug addiction, you will know. Dr. Drew has talked about it. You just, you know, resort to the last high because you need to chase that last high.
Yeah. All right, Christine. Thank you. That's good news for Jim Ward, who has only had one. He's only had one today.
And a half.
Are you chasing that next high, Jim?
No, I guess you can just stop at one. Good to know. All right. Yeah, and probably Kathleen would not have had two if there were not for Uber. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have a third. I'm, trust me, I'm trying to behave. It's awfully cozy down here, though.
A little too homey here.
A little too homey.
Exactly.
Maybe me and Fred will take a nap on the couch.
Someone's already down there taking a nap.
That's Max.
Oh.
That's Max. The snowdrift behind you is Max. you were saying you would like to see someone carry a dog that size in a bag, like women carry chihuahuas here in L.A.
I want
like
a dog.
It'd have to be like a hockey bag. Like
a big canvas hockey bag, yeah.
Right.
Maybe you take one arm, I'll take the other strap, and we just walk through Nordstrom and act like it's totally normal, like the rest of these people do. And then I'd really like him to just bark in a friendly way with the deep bark instead of that, you know, stuff out of the bag.
Yeah.
Just a whoop, like just to freak people out and go, no, he's totally friendly. Totally friendly. Don't worry.
All right.
But you'd have to not laugh and be completely serious. And
right.
Just, you know, go to the MAC counter.
I can do it. I can do it. Right.
Just want to see your new lipsticks. What do you got for spring? What do you got coming out? Let him drool a little on the glass.
So I like that one.
You said all dogs are welcome.
Yeah. Okay, so the other topic we should get into is Woody Allen, of course, so we can piss everyone off.
I'm just reading about it now.
Even more than Snowden, I think this, because we heard yesterday from people, because we had said something about an adopted child,
right.
And that's painful to kids. Okay, but I guess because there's so many permutations that, no, Soon Yi was not his adopted child, but it was still creepy. It was his girlfriend's.
There's an
adopted
article in
child.
The Daily Beast called Woody Allen Allegations Not So Fast.
I know. I have
She has it right in front of her. I gave it to her yesterday.
So what everybody's saying about this, though, however, is this is the guy that did the tribute to him at the Golden Globes, and he did the Woody Allen film. So the problem is there are people on both sides that, you know, there are big Woody defenders and there are big Mia defenders that, you know, yeah, and so this is like a very long piece. Where was it? Daily Beast, right? Yeah, but, you know, that's what I'm saying, Jim, is I don't know what to think. And this guy, it's just that he happened to do the tribute to Woody Allen at the Golden Globes, and he did the movie, the PBS special, Woody Allen, a documentary. So he, you know.
If you're accused of what he's been accused of, and then you also happen to marry a 19-year-old when you're 60, or her age is in question because the birth certificate from her country is...
She was either 19, I guess, or 21. But and the other thing is, I don't know what parts are true that Mia found nude pictures of her when she was 15 on his computer. I don't know if that's true, but at any rate, that's what people are saying. Yes, it's not illegal, but it's a little dirtbaggy. That was his.
It's
that
creepy.
Was his girlfriend's daughter.
It's creepy.
I mean,
it's
yes.
creepy.
But
so
it's,
you've
but it's
already
not illegal.
But you've already put yourself in a creepy category. So.
But creepy isn't illegal.
Right. No, I'm saying people might judge for, you
right.
know,
yes.
if all of
yes.
they said, oh, I saw Kathleen doing shots somewhere in the morning, they'd go, well, she put herself in that category.
Right.
She was drinking mimosas at 7:56:32 in California. I'm saying if you put yourself in a category, it doesn't seem that implausible
right.
that you could go to creepier. You know what I'm saying? You
right,
already
but
established
Chris is right,
creepy.
But it doesn't make him guilty of that.
It does not.
So this is Robert Wide, right, is the piece in the Daily Beast. Mm-hmm. And he says, if anyone's creeped out by the notion of a 55-year-old man becoming involved with his girlfriend's 19-year-old adopted daughter, I understand. That makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, you know, see, this is the one. The other thing is people on the phones got into talking about Mia's stuff. Like, and you get a little bit like, I'm not sure like any of this is our business or to judge it, you know what I mean, to that degree. Because they were he's pointing out about when she said that Ronan might be Frank Sinatra's kid. So he pointed out, he said that would mean that Mia was fooling around with her ex-husband decades after their divorce. If Mia was just kidding about the Sinatra scenario, it was an awfully insensitive thing to say considering the fact that Sinatra's wife Barbara is still very much alive. So, you know, it's like, I mean, there's a lot of people moralizing about a lot of things now. Like, and we don't know whether right.
I feel like we've come into the fight.
And then
somebody
someone
else
called.
Thanksgiving.
Right,
exactly.
Right. And somebody
I was
called,
saying that yesterday.
And somebody called yesterday and said if Ronan Sinatra is the biological father, it's not the first time Mia had a child by a married man. In 1969, at the age of 24, she became pregnant by Andre Previn, who was still married to
yeah.
Dory, right, and then she had a nervous breakdown, and some people. But I mean, and you go, but that's not relevant to if Woody Allen did in fact molest this little girl, right?
Right.
You go,
what, okay. Right. Well, because they're saying the relevancy is that if Mia was cuckoo for Cocoa Puff, she could have tricked the kids into saying crazy
right,
things.
This was a vengeful mm-hmm. thing. All right. Right. Well, okay. More on this and everybody's thoughts, including Kathleen's. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's very exciting day. Jim has found the pasta. Typical man, he didn't look like 2 feet away, so now I had to go find him the pasta.
Pasta in the sink, who knew?
Yeah, what was in a strainer? Okay, everything's good. Anyone who's ever made pasta, the pasta is delicious. And Jackie Schechner will be with us all hour. It is a very, very exciting one. And has just let us know she will be coming to Fort Lauderdale, Sexy Liberal, to do panel with
what?
Us along with Judy Tenuta. Well, she's not going with Judy. She'll be going separately. However,
will you play the accordion?
I will learn how. Sure.
Maybe she will twirl the baton while Judy Tenuta plays accordion.
We're not bringing that back up again. Yeah, I'm from South Florida, so I'm going to try to use it as an excuse to visit the parental units. Yeah.
And of course, the real south of Florida is the northern part. It's the panhandle.
Yeah. Right. All right. Chris, speaking of women I love, how long have I been talking about and wanting to get on the show this next woman?
Every single day you ask us.
We talk obviously a lot about gun stuff and all these school tragedies. And this woman just, I think, like, in a way, disarmed the nation with this 911 call that everybody heard. She talked this, kid out of shooting up a school just with pure human kindness and empathy. And, I was so struck by it, as were so many people. She's an amazing new book out I'm reading called Prepared for a Purpose. Antoinette Tuff joins us now. Antoinette, good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing this morning?
I am so happy to meet you. You have no idea.
Oh, great to meet you, too.
And I saw you on TV promoting the book, and I'm like, wow, she's gorgeous.
Oh. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I got to say, I mean, everybody that heard this 911 call was so struck by not just your calm, but your, in fact, I've told this story just to other people. I thought it's a lesson for all of us every day where you say we all go through something, honey. We all go through something. And it was amazing. And this kid put the gun down, right? I mean, what were you thinking? I can't even imagine. I don't even know where to start with the questions for you. What were you thinking, and how were you able to do that in that moment?
Well, to be honest with you, Stephanie, it wasn't me. It was God. I was terrified on the inside, screaming like I don't know what. Like, okay, God, what do we do? What are we going to do next? It was a frightening experience, and I hope no one ever has to experience that.
Yeah, I'll say. But obviously your life didn't start at that moment. Can you fill us in briefly, like, what was happening in your life on that day when you walked into that school?
Well, it was just like any normal day. I actually was, at work doing my job and everything, got up, had time before with God and fixed my son. He likes an IHOP breakfast, as we call it, bacon and eggs,
yep.
Toast and some coffee and tea. And a little orange juice he wants on the side. And so God didn't say anything to me during that time that it was going to be my day.
Oh,
or that I was going to, encounter AK-47 in a few hours.
Wow. But you talk about, the gunman walked into the school and said, we're all going to die today. I mean, what was your initial reaction to that?
This must be a joke.
Yeah. So obviously, he chose to trust you and to communicate through you. Why do you think he did that?
Well, because I knew that pain. I had experienced that pain myself. And I know that he really felt the genuine love that I had because I was right there with him and I understood that pain.
Well, it was interesting. I mean, the fact that you shared such a painful personal story with someone in that moment. You said your husband of 30 years left you, And first of all, I was, when I've seen you, I'm like, what kind of man would do such a thing, such a woman? But, I mean, so you were able to sort of access that kind of pain and vulnerability, and he must have connected on a human level to that.
Yes, I was, you know, my husband and I had been together since I was 13.
Wow.
And we had been together for 33 years. So, I'm sitting there in a devastating moment, like, what do I do now? Because I had just gotten a devastating call to let me know that they were going to repossess my car. So moments before he came in there, I'm actually in my office bawling, crying, like, okay, God, what am I going to do next? You know, going through all the emotions that my husband is gone. Now, how am I going to pay for this car? You know, trying to get it all together. And so what do we all do? We put on a mask and a veil, clean ourselves up, and now go out to say everything is going to be okay. But in all reality, if someone could see the inside, on the inside, we're all falling apart.
Yeah. Listen, I hear you, sister. So you have how many kids and how old?
I have two children, a 27-year-old and a 22-year-old.
Wow. And, I mean, you know, I don't know if that's part of it, you know, but being able to talk to this kid as a mother, how did you know what to say to him in the moment, do you think?
Well, I didn't know. I could, as somebody asked me before, they was like, oh, you were so calm. I had to go back and listen to the 911 tape to see. And I didn't even recognize myself. That's how calm I was. And I was like, okay, God. I couldn't even go back and tell you exactly what I said to him, because it was God just guiding my words of what to say. Because remember, I'm sitting here watching this young man unstable in all his ways. He has now sprayed bullets at everywhere. He has actually put a bullet in front of me, not even feet away from me. He's letting me know that we're all going to die. And so now it's like, what do you do and what do you say? Because every word that proceed out of your mouth that day can be life or death, not just for me and him, but for everyone in that school.
And so, do you mind if we listen to a little of that to refresh people's memories and yours? Because this is what, let's listen to a little bit, okay? Here is Antoinette Tough on that day.
Oh, he just went outside and started shooting. He said to tell them to back off. He doesn't want the kids. He wants the police. So back off. And what else, sir? He said he don't care if he dying. He don't have nothing to live for. And he said he's not mentally stable. Do you want me to try? I can help you. Want me to try? You want to talk to them? Want me to talk to them and try to? Okay, well, let me talk to them and let's see if we can work it out so that you don't have to go away with them for a long time. You're going to be okay. I thought the same thing. You know, I tried to commit suicide last year after my husband left me. But look at me now. I'm still working and everything is okay. It's going to be all right, sweet. I just want you to know that I love you, though, okay? And I'm proud of you. That's a good thing that you just given up and don't worry about it. We all go through something in life. I never saw skin on things in my life.
Need. But you did great.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'm tearing up again. Yeah. I mean, I've cried every time I've heard it, Antoinette. It really, because, you know, I don't want to drag you into the politics of it, but I think it's just there's so many of these gun tragedies where we hear, oh, it's just, if only there was some more guns or a good guy with a gun. And there you are, just with all you had is the power of, like you said, of God and of human empathy for this kid, right?
That's it. Compassion and love. That's why I wanted people to, that's why I wanted to write my book, for people to be able to see that I'm an ordinary person. I get up and do just like they do. But God prepared me for that moment. And when I was younger, when I was a child, he prepared me with my dad in abandonment. He had prepared me with my ex-husband abandoning me. God prepared me for that moment to be right there. So that was why I wrote my book, for people to be able to see. You don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to be a $2 person. God doesn't care where you at. He's willing and able to use us all. So are you ready when he calls your number and calls your name?
Mm-hmm. I actually love the most human part is at the very end when you fall apart. Because everyone's like, how could you be so calm? And you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, what, you know, I think everybody talks about, too, there was a point you had a chance you could have run away, right, from where he was. Why didn't you?
Because now I'm now seeing this young man. He has actually loaded up the magazines in front of me. He has emptied out the book bag with, I mean, so many bullets. I ain't never seen so many bullets in all days of my life. He goes outside and now sprays bullets everywhere. So even though I had an opportunity to run, there's open walkway in that building. I knew that if I ran, he was going to go in that school and start spraying bullets just like he did outside, and nobody would go home, including me and him.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a true hero, and I know a lot of people would probably not have made that choice in your position. One thing that struck me is you always say you never saw the gunman as your enemy, which, again, is hard for a lot of people to understand. How can you explain that?
Well, he was a hurt young man just like me. He had pain inside that he needed someone to be an angel. God sent angels to me when I was going through my devastating and suicide moments, and I knew that I needed to be an angel for him that day.
You know, Antoinette, it's interesting. You talked about you tried to commit suicide, and I think, you know, I don't know if there's a human alive that hasn't thought about it, hasn't been in that place for some reason. And, you know, I think that's, I have a feeling that's what he connected to, don't you?
Oh, yes. He knew that I knew the pain. He
yeah.
knew that in spite of what all was going on, that we both had the same kind of pain.
Well, Antoinette, when he was shooting at the police, how did you get him to stop shooting and come back in the room? What did you say?
I put my hand up and said to him, just like you do your babies, come on back in here, baby. Come on back in here. Bullets don't have no names, and bullets will kill everybody. Come back in here. Come on, come on, come on in here. Let's go. Come on.
Oh, my God, I love you so much.
Yeah.
How has the, I mean, I can only imagine how this experience has changed your life. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, it really has. It has changed my life a whole lot. I'm now on book tour doing my book Prepared for a Purpose. I'm actually now speaking nationally and internationally, allowing people to know how to be prepared for their purpose. And right after this incident, people have gone to my GoFundMe account and have donated money from all over the world, and I appreciate the donations, and we can continue to still need them. We've actually now formed an actual company, nonprofit, called Kids on the Move for Success, and we were able to give a child a scholarship to go to college at the Trumpet Awards a few weeks ago.
Wow.
So it has truly changed my life so that other children realize that they don't have to be a Michael Hill or anyone else. They can be prepared for their purpose and have an educational opportunity to be successful.
Of all the things I've read about your book, I love, and you, I love this one from the Washington Post. We should use her as an example to teach our children's leaders, any of our leaders really, and all of our children, the value of compassion and the power of empathy. And that's something, it just seems, some days feels like it's lost, and I think that's what, you know, has so touched Americans about you. And I feel like I'm welling up just talking to you. And if there's not a man that does not snap you up like too sweet, then there is no God.
Well, he's allowing me to be healed and whole first. When you still have a lot of things, I don't want to take that in my new marriage, a new relationship.
Aww.
So I want to be able to be whole, so it'll be like 4th of July every day.
Aww. Gosh, you're my role model in another way now, because I'm really incredibly needy.
Okay. No, allow God to be able to actually validate you today. Look in the mirror and say today, I love me.
Aww. I know I love you, and we love the book, Prepared for a Purpose. Antoinette, thanks so much, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, and it was a pleasure to be on your show today. Oh. You all have a wonderful and blessed day today.
You too. All right, thank you, Antoinette.
Bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye. Oh, my God. I'm going, she makes me cry. She's such a beautiful soul.
She is, really.
And stunning, inside and out.
You keep bringing up her looks, Stephanie.
See, your new girlfriend.
I was going to say.
Oh, my God.
Trying to get her in here in person.
There's some latent life, stories I've heard about. Okay. Hi, kid. Oh, she's spectacular. Don't look at me like that.
Oh,
all right.
God.
See, Jackman's too young.
Right. Too young for what?
19 minutes.
You just get into break now before you get into trouble.
19 minutes after.
I'm going to get an apology phone call tomorrow.
I'm getting emotional. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Old home week, Jackie Sheffner is home.
Yay.
Oh, Lassie came home. What?
And I'm enjoying these.
You just called her a dog.
But in the Lassie's, most endearing
way. Lassie's okay. Pretty. Yes, Jim?
I'm saying I'm enjoying the camera angles here because it forces me to get closer to Jackie.
I know.
And it's just a technical thing, obviously.
Of course, of course. He is forced to spoon you for technical reasons.
That's what they all say.
Sure, yeah.
All right.
Don't mind the microphone.
No. All right, so we just got the exciting news that Jackie Sheffner is going to come do Sexy Liberal Panel with us in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
That's
March
the plan.
1st, just
That's
a couple of weeks, along with Judy Tenuta. All right, very exciting. And then Chris and Jim and all of us will be in Phoenix this Saturday for the very first Sexy Liberal 2014.
Wait. It's supposed to be close to 90 degrees in Phoenix this weekend.
Really?
Yes.
I'm told it's warm. Yes. Phoenix is the desert.
And it's dry.
It's a dry heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that why Governor
Bone, unlike Florida.
Governor Bonefinger's fingers shriveled?
That's why she looks like a saddlebag.
Doesn't someone know to bring
she
her in
get out,
of,
it
the
out
sun?
Of the sun once in a while?
She's like a raisin.
Yes, she is.
Exactly. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2. People have been so patient waiting to talk to Jackie. Byron in Missouri, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Good morning, Steph. Jackie.
Good morning. Hi.
Jim, Chris.
Hi.
I wanted to let you guys know from the outset, this is not a plant. I'm a Democrat. I'm a son, grandson, and great-grandson of union people, and I've never voted for a Republican in my life. And once in 1980, I was ripped when I went to the polls and I voted for Clark. So, other than that, you know, I'm a loyal Democrat, and I believe in this health system. I, like many others, want a one-payer system, but what we got, we'll use until everybody comes to their senses.
Right? Yes.
I'm on Social Security disability. I'm 62, retired truck driver, 42 years, going 90 miles an hour, and when you stop, things break down. my wife filed the other day. We went to the library, got on the computer, and filed for her retirement. And then when we got home, she called the healthcare line and talked to the guy, and he, you know, after about 15 minutes, he said her health insurance was going to be $450 a month. Well, she works for the hospital here in town, in Joplin, and her health insurance is about $140 a month. They take it out twice a month. And so it shocked me. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because Missouri is one of the states that has refused to join the exchanges and hasn't expanded Medicaid. I'm not sure. So I'm confused. And then last night, as an aside, last night I get a call from an 800 number. Usually I don't answer these calls because I have a cell phone. I have to pay, you know, by the minute.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And the guy's asking me a question, and he's going on and on, and I don't understand what he's getting at. But finally he asked me, he says, do you agree with the fact that to expand Medicaid to people who are working? So this sets up a red flag, and I asked him to ask me again. So he goes through it again and asks me again, do you agree with the fact to expand Medicaid for people who are working? Sounds like a Republican to me. So I said yes. And then I said, well, you know, isn't Missouri one of the states that refused to
expand
join
Medicaid.
Exchanges
yeah.
and
right.
to expand Medicaid? Well, he didn't want to answer that question. And yeah. I asked him that. He
okay.
couldn't get me off the phone.
Byron,
back.
We've only got about a minute here with Jackie. What's your question exactly?
I'm done.
Well, all right. It sounds like, and I'd have to have some more detail, but it sounds like his wife has health insurance through work, which would
right.
make her ineligible right. to buy health insurance on the exchange if the health insurance she has at work is under 9.5% of her income.
Right.
So I'm not sure. He may be mixing up disability benefits with the health insurance exchange marketplace because it sounds
yeah.
like she already does get health insurance through her job. So those are two separate things. And I just want people to understand, too, is that Medicaid and the exchanges are two different things. That
That's
every
right.
state has
mm-hmm.
to have an exchange. If the state opted not to participate in a state-based exchange, they are part of that healthcare.gov
right, right.
exchange, the national federal exchange. Medicaid is totally different. Medicaid is expanding the opportunity for people to have assistance if they don't make enough money under 133% of the poverty level. And a lot of states opted out of expanding their Medicaid program to include adults and to include people more than just women and children who needed it. So it's a larger program to help, for lack of a better word, poor people. And a lot of states opted not to take advantage of that, but that's separate from the healthcare exchanges.
The cutest part of that call is we went to the library to use the computer.
I know, it was very cute.
Aww. That was cute. Okay, more with Jackie Schechner and Jackie's Healthcare Corner as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So young and live. Look at the shape of that body.
Well, the good news is the pasta was good. The interwebs were having a little interwebal trouble this morning. All right.
We're submerged with no sonar.
I'm changing services, though, later
today.
Yes,
you are.
Because you know what? We all bundle. Puppy.
We all bundle.
Okay. You currently have DSL, and it wasn't built to handle
the stresses
we're putting on it now.
Right, the horses are a little slow in the horse-drawn interweb this morning.
So we had to move you over to cable.
But I bundle because I have television and also my
puppy.
Phone. Mama has an old-fashioned phone.
I was going to say, you're like the last person on the planet to have a home phone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, cell service isn't very good this particular spot.
Right, in the bunker.
Yeah.
Yes, and also it's the intercom. That's how the doorbell rings. It's the phone. Listen, Norma Desmond will explain it later. Anyway.
Ooh, you have an intercom along with your bridle path and your central vacuum system?
No, I have a
it's hooked
path.
Up to the butter churn.
Snap! Jackie Schechner with an old joke.
Yeah!
Right.
How about that?
Nicely done, ma'am. Nicely done. Jackie Schechner, healthcare expert extraordinaire, live in studio with us.
Live?
Today. She's going to be here every week now until we, you know.
I'm taking next Thursday off.
Right, you'll be here a different day.
I will, yes.
Don't you?
I will have a makeup day.
Whatever occurs, we will find you.
I will find you.
Yes.
But then Thursday will be my regular
day. Will be your regular day. And you'll be our regular Thursday girl. All right. And we just found out she's going to join us on panel with Sexy Liberal in Fort Lauderdale. Going to visit Mom. And yay. Okay. Along with Judy Tenuta live on panel with us for Pride Weekend in Fort Lauderdale. That's March 1st. All right.
You've met Mom. She's highly visitable.
Mom is so as adorable as Jackie Schechner is, picture that. Picture that in a maternal unit.
My mom's Aww. Very, very cute.
She's really sweet. And she loves her little baby so much. Donna in Idaho, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about the Affordable Care Act. At some point during all the discussion, I had heard that insurance companies are supposed to pay 80% of the money they collect from us on medical. Is that still true, or does that get set aside?
No, that's true. It's the 80-20 rule you're talking about, the medical loss ratio, which says that 80% of the money they collect from premiums has to be spent on health care. Unfortunately, we don't find that out till the end of the year, so they can spend whatever they want, and then they have to do their accounting and show that they spend at least 80% on actual health care costs. We'll see what happens come the end of the year, because some companies are jacking up their premiums and not paying out as much as they probably should be. So we'll see where the money goes. I mean, don't put it past them, though, to do some creative accounting. The law is, though, that they have to spend at least 80%, but we've seen it time and time again where they find ways to hide the profits and they hide the money and buy back their own stock and things like that. So it exists, and it's there, and hopefully it'll be implemented again this year the way it was the last couple of years. But you just have to be careful and keep an eye, a watchful eye on the insurance industry.
Yep.
Really? Okay. That's funny. I've always trusted them so implicitly. By the by, one thing we can trust Republicans won't do again is take the debt ceiling hostage, Jay Carney, the other day.
I argue in the future that somehow
Having done it three times, doesn't matter. Now we're going to threaten to shut the government down again, or threaten to default on the full faith and credit of the United States again. I think that argument becomes harder to sustain in the future.
Nothing sadder than a saggy orange boner. You know what I'm saying? He's very, very droopy.
And the tears of a clown.
Right. John Boehner had to cave on the debt ceiling.
You think they try to come up with a new strategy of some sort.
Right.
But instead they just keep replicating the same saggy over and over again.
Excuse me? And now the latest outrage, of course, is over the president talking about small business, right, and giving in the okay, well, we'll go ahead.
We have hardship exemptions, phase-ins, to make sure that nobody is unnecessarily burdened.
Your thoughts? I can tell you're not.
Yeah,
not
I have.
You're disappointed.
No, I am. Well, I don't understand necessarily why the decisions to delay these employer contribution requirements.
Yeah.
They're not mandates. It's a really weird word for it. But the idea is everybody into the pool. Everybody has to contribute. It's an employer responsibility. It's part of the larger portion of the bill that we all created, saying mm-hmm. we've all got to pay into the pot if we're all going to take advantage of the opportunities that having access to affordable health care provide us. There must be some reason. I hope there's some reason behind it other than just kowtowing to political pressure, but it sure feels like that. And I don't think it's an excuse to scrap the individual mandate. I don't think that that's a workable solution, but I understand why Republicans are screaming it. It makes sense. And I don't understand why they continue to make changes to this implementation when it would be super helpful to actually kind of follow the outline that we set forward.
Yeah.
It doesn't strengthen the law to make changes to it along the way. It strengthens the law to adhere to it the way it was passed.
Yep. Let's go to Darren in Texas wants to talk to Jackie. Hello, Darren.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Well, I have a question for Jackie. I've got kind of myriad of questions, really. But I have a sister who is on disability and Medicaid. And due to, I guess, Texas not wanting to expand Medicaid, opting out of that, she needs a pain specialist all the time. Well, they're dropping like flies. So we're trying to get her on insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I have is, can she, and we've had several different answers, so I'm trying to find out what the right answer is. Can she stay on Medicaid and get into the Affordable Care Act, or does she have to drop it?
I don't think she can do both. If you're going to get government help through Medicaid, then I don't think that she can get any kind of. I mean, she could probably buy private health insurance if she wanted to, right? It's a free market. She can pay out of pocket to buy private health insurance, but I don't think that she can get any kind of financial help with private insurance and collect Medicaid at the same time. So it would have to be one or the other. It would either be able to pay for private health insurance, and depending on her income, may qualify for a subsidy. But if she's on Medicaid now, I would assume she'd be able to continue that Medicaid, or maybe work out some sort of deal where she can pay just out of pocket for the pain specialty she needs. I mean, keep in mind, too, that you have the option of negotiating with your health care providers. I mean, one of the things mm-hmm. you can do if you're paying as a cash patient in circumstances.
You can offer a chicken?
You can offer a
sorry,
chicken.
Sorry, that was a Republican candidate.
Yes.
I would like to barter a chicken.
Yes. No, you can go in, and I mean, some are more obviously more willing to do so than others, but you can go in and say, look, I'm paying as a cash patient. Is there any way that we can negotiate down the price of this service? And a lot of these facilities and doctors are willing to do that, depending on your financial situation. I mean, we're talking about, you know, people who are generally in the practice of providing things that people need, and there
right.
is an inherent care there, and they're not trying to bilk you for every dollar if it's the kind
right.
of doctor we'd like to believe they are.
Rush Limbaugh says he pays cash for his health care. He doesn't have any health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
He just yeah. gives his housekeeper
because everybody
a
has Rush Limbaugh
wad of bills
yeah.
to go right.
Not everybody has Rush Limbaugh money.
Yes, thank you. That's why I think it is. Well, whatever. It's just completely immoral to encourage people not to sign up for health insurance because you are a multi-billion millionaire or whatever and have to.
Yeah. I mean, people who've never had to encounter the desperation of needing medical care and not being able to afford it or to get it when they need it most don't understand how desperate the situation is.
Yeah, didn't he have a heart something in Hawaii, had a heart attack, bypass? Really? How many people can pay for that with cash, right?
Yeah, when you're rich, it's easy to get. We say we have the best health care in the world if you've got money.
Yeah.
Right. If
yeah.
you've got money, you can get great treatment here, but not everybody's in that tax bracket.
What was the chicken lady's name again?
I know. Now yes. I'm forgetting. The Republican female.
You
know,
just partner with chickens.
The Republican female candidate.
She was in Nevada.
Right.
Nevada. Against Harry
Sharon
Reid.
Angle.
Sharon Angle.
Ah.
Offer him a chicken.
I don't know. Is it a chicken meatball?
Whatever.
Oh. Hey, speaking of chicken, you brought this up earlier. Listen, that's why I turned this into a cooking show today. Because Paula Deen is getting $75 million in business comeback money. Let's go,
what?
People.
$75
billion? Million.
Come on,
million.
Animal Planet.
Only million. Yeah.
Somebody.
from the owners of Sky Mall.
Right.
What?
I love this.
Yes.
Who posted this? Hilarious.
Yeah.
Like a cat or a demon or some sort of racist Moby Dick. It's impossible to kill Paula Deen.
It's all the butter.
The Wall Street Journal reports today that the former TV chef just received a lot of money from a private equity company to rebuild her brand. A lot of money means somewhere between $75 and $100 million.
Huh.
I need help rebuilding my brand. I got to pay for this studio I just built. There's actual money to be milked from her droopy teat, according to this post. Paula Deen Ventures is in talks with TV networks, retail chains, and other possible partners, but has yet to announce a TV or contract or major deal.
I think your teats are less droopy.
Well, I'm in a sports bra, but thank you.
They're a little more flat than Paula Deen's.
By the way, you need to get relationship counseling on the Food Network, as we discussed earlier.
Oh, we did.
Speaking of butter, because your boyfriend, what kind of diet is this?
My boyfriend read this book called The Perfect Health Diet.
Oh, boy.
And he's now obsessed with it. And he is cooking everything with eggs and butter and you know, look, he's in good shape, and I can't complain with the results.
Sounds
for
like
him.
The paleo diet.
But
that's what Travis
is on.
Yeah.
Travis is like, no, I can't have pasta. I'm on a paleo something.
Yeah,
I'm
and
like,
it's working for him, but I tend to eat much lighter, and it's not really my diet. It's not really what my body prefers.
Right.
So we're having a little bit of a discussion as to, ooh.
Ooh.
I like when he offers
I'm
to
good.
Cook.
Ouch.
I like when he offers to cook for me. I just don't necessarily want everything to be buried in butter.
Well, that's why I'm glad you've
How
come here
to
the Food Network.
How much butter do you want with your cheese, eggs, and beef?
For relationship counseling.
We do. We need like a mediator to parse out the butter.
Right. Exactly. All right. To clarify your butter situation.
Yeah.
Get it? Clarify butter. You get jokes here. All right.
These are the jokes, folks.
Okay. By the way, can you see how we need a little funding? Why? Because my internet's down. Read this off of Chris's computer. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by, look at those biceps. Brought to you by Pajamagram.
You keep holding it like that, you'll get biceps like mine.
In about a year.
I don't know what kind of pajamas to get for that thing. Listen up, guys. Valentine's Day tomorrow. I'm about to tell you the best Valentine's Day gift to give your wife or girlfriend this year.
Last-minute pajamas.
Pajamagram has just introduced the sexy satin collection. It's
Ooh.
Butter-free. Women love, chicks dig satin pajamas, right?
Yep.
Silky, smooth, sexy.
Slide right out of bed.
Hello now. Go to pajamagram.com. See all the sexy satin styles they have to choose from. They're luxurious. They're silky. They're sexy. Oh, boy. That feels so amazing, almost like a second skin. She's going to love the way these pajamas look and feel. Call 1-800-GIVE-PJs or shop online at pajamagram.com.
Scroll?
Okay.
No, can't scroll.
Can't
Not
scroll.
Scrolling.
I forgot. I can't touch the screen.
No, two-finger. Right. Two-finger.
Really?
No, two fingers.
Oh,
yes.
There.
Got it.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. This is seamless, this whole production. Call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Right now, we're called pajamagram.com. There are hundreds, literally hundreds of styles to choose from. Every pajamagram includes free gift packaging. It is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I am not a good rapper myself, either kind, the singing kind or the rapping. Overnight and Valentine's Day delivery guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs and tell them Stephanie Miller sent you 47 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of Jackie Schechner on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Jim has gone analog. He's just gone to the newspaper now because our interwebs are not working. All right.
Well, Jackie, for some of us it is. For you it's not.
You're hogging all the interwebs.
I am. Sometimes the old ways are the best.
Thank you, Jim. All right. Jackie Schechner live in studio with us. We have, you know, various new different cameras from Free Speech TV. I'm guessing this is one Jim wishes we had. Shia LaBeouf wanted to wear a penis cam for his movie.
Can you go away, please?
Yeah, what's going on with him? His increasingly bizarre antics include proclaiming he wanted to mount a camera on his penis.
You mean a former child star is having a meltdown in public?
Right, yes.
That never happens.
While he was shooting the movie Nymphomaniac.
Was it like a big TV camera?
Yes, right. Did we just have to tell Jim, no, you cannot have a penis cam when Jackie's here?
Not sure I really want to see that channel.
No.
Did that come with new cable?
I saw part of the trailer for that movie. I was like, wow, that's yikes.
Yikes.
Not for the kids.
Wow. Jim, who said the rest of the CBO report contained much good news for Obamacare? Insurance premiums under the law are 15% lower than originally forecast. The slowdown in Medicare cost growth is broad and persistent, and enrollments will catch up over time to where they would have been absent Obamacare's troubled rollout. Who said that?
John Boehner, shut up. I want to hear about it.
No. E.J. Dionne, who is not an expert like Jackie Schechner, but still. The reaction to the CBO study is an example of how willfully stupid, there's no other word, the debate over Obamacare has become. Opponents don't look to a painstaking analysis for enlightenment. They twist its findings and turn them into dishonest slogans. Too often the media go along by highlighting the study's political impact rather than focusing on what it actually says. My bet is that citizens are smarter than this. They will ignore the noise and judge Obamacare by how it works. Who said that, Jim?
E.G. Daily.
No, I just told you. E.J. Dionne in the Washington...
F.J. Pratt, he's a friend of mine.
Wasn't E.G. Daily in Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
I think so.
She was Dottie. She was Dottie. Yeah.
Anyway, Jackie, do you agree?
Isn't it true?
No, I do agree, and I wish all along that people had taken the time to actually read not only what was in the law, but the details of all the information that came out afterwards. Because it's very easy to just listen to people screaming and yelling and go, we have to leave it there, or thanks for your opinion. And a lot of times it's not an opinion.
We'll have to leave it there.
As Jim Ward brilliantly summed up what our journalism has become, go ahead.
What does Chuck Todd think that David Gregory thinks about what Cokie Roberts said about Peggy Noonan?
What she thinks, yeah.
And what she thinks.
I mean, a lot of times there is no he said, she said.
And Republicans say Obamacare is a $2 million job killer.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, well, just because somebody says it doesn't make it true. Right. And that's what's been so frustrating about, I mean, I can go back to what I originally said, which is that healthcare is not partisan, right? People don't ask whether or not you're Republican or Democrat when you get cancer or when you get hit by a car. Your political affiliation doesn't come into play. So take a look at the facts. Take a look at the actual details of changing our healthcare system, which we all agree was broken and continues to be broken in some capacity. So let's figure out a way to fix it and stop arguing about who's right or who's wrong. If the policy is good, who cares where it came from?
That's why I saved this piece for you about Michael Hiltzik's piece about the Republican plan. What did we call it? Oh, it's the Patient Choice Affordability Responsibility and Empowerment Act. CARE. You know, he just breaks down the... It's just a piece of crap, basically. And this is not, and even in covering this, people are like, oh, well, Republicans have a plan, too. It's like, look at what it is.
You know, healthcare policy is complicated, but a lot of it is common sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of a dork with this sort of stuff because I like to read it. I like to learn about it. I like to study it. And it was part of my job as the communications director when I was with Healthcare for America Now to learn as much as I could about what policies were in place and what policies we were looking to implement. But they all made sense, and it wasn't coming from a political angle. angle. It was coming from a policy angle, from people who had studied healthcare policy.
Right, and based on some Republican ideas,
across the world over many, many years. Mm-hmm. And there are solutions that have nothing to do with politics, and take the time to learn what those are. Well, and help the process as opposed to trying to stop it at every turn.
One health economist is quoted here as saying of the plan, it's clearly designed to serve the objectives of the campaigns, 2014 and perhaps 2016, not as an effort to engage in good faith negotiation with Democrats on health policy. This is what it's become, what you just said.
Maybe we'll reach a tipping point. Maybe, right. I mean, we can only hope that we reach a tipping point, we stop putting stupid people on TV, we stop arguing for the sake of arguing. You know, we stop having these conversations that don't mean anything, and we start talking about issues that matter and fixing the problems of our society in a way that actually works for people.
What kind of stupid people are you talking about? People who can see a wrestler from their house?
I had a friend over this week who was like, oh, she was looking at Sippy Cup, Chris. She's like, what is she? Why is she on TV? What? Why do they ask? What?
Because she has glasses. She looks like a smart girl.
But then she wears F-me boots.
She does. Yeah, exactly.
And that's a problem, huh?
Who is Sippy Cup?
S.E. Cup.
Oh. She's one of the hosts of the Cross-Flavin. Oh. Cross-Flavin.
Whatever.
Yeah, that.
Let's do Kayla real quick in Illinois.
Thank you. I wanted Jackie to comment on the issue of people caught in what they're calling the donut hole. And these are people who live in states where the Republican governors have refused to expand Medicaid.
Yep.
Donut hole actually comes down to Medicare. And when we talk about the donut hole, what we're talking about is people who have Medicare, over 65 who have Medicare, have to pay for their own prescriptions after a certain amount of money is covered. Then there's a hole where they have to pay for their own prescriptions. Then it gets covered again. That's the donut hole. It's Medicare, not Medicaid. Okay. And that's actually closing thanks to the Affordable Care Act. Medicaid is a whole different.
We love you, Jackie Schechner. We love you next week. And she'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Sexy Liberal. Get those tickets. They're going to go fast. March 1st and then Phoenix this Saturday. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Everybody, we just flew in from vacation on a ghost plane. The green beer's on me. Okay. Hey, too much green for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, a little bit.
St. Patrick's Day, too much?
Thanksgiving?
That's because I'm drunk. I don't even know what holiday. At least I dressed appropriately in green. Could be Thanksgiving.
I think you're the only one in this entire place that
That's
is dressed
why
in
I over-greened.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's
Day. So I decided not to wear green and just get drunk instead.
Okay,
so
good idea.
That's
nicely
it.
Done.
That's
nicely
my plan.
Nicely done, sir.
Well
nicely done. Good to see you. I missed you on vacation.
Really?
I did. Oh, my God. Hang on. Let me just wipe the Fugelsangian hairs off of my microphone. John Fugelsang did an amazing job. I listened. There's so much hair. It's worse than my. I need a lint roller now for the Fugelsangian hair that is everywhere.
That's a lot of hair.
Exactly. All right. Nicely done, and all our friends. Jackie Schechner, Rick Overton helped out. Greg Proops, hilarious.
Mm.
What the? Yeah. By the way, Julie in Seattle said, "Don't think it went unnoticed by me or anyone else among your fans that every time you go on vacation, you cause another air disaster."
Yeah.
And this one.
This one's a doozy.
I checked my pilot yesterday. I was getting on the plane. I'm like, "How you doing? Are you depressed? You're not depressed, right?
Yeah.
What's going
any
on?
Issues?
Any issues? Marital stuff going on? Drinking? Anything? Can I smell your breath?
Do you anything
have
I can do?
Do you have a flight simulator
in your house? And who doesn't?
I wish I had one.
I know. Jim's a plane geek, and he doesn't have one. I'm like, I know. And then someone's like, oh, no, that's a pilot thing. A lot of them have that. I was like, really?
Yeah, sure. You got to keep your mojo.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just
your
checking.
Your skills.
I'm
tight.
Seriously, every flight I get on now, I'm going to get it right up in their face, and it's going to be like, hi.
Let me see your eyes.
Just checking for crazy eyes.
Let me see your eyes.
Hey.
Take off the sunglasses.
Hey.
I can't see your pupils.
How you feeling? Huh? Turn that frown upside down. Wow.
Or we could fly to Kuala Lumpur.
Okay, I was just going to say, and what are also the chances that a story custom-made for Tom Brokaw breaks while we're on vacation? in that Malaysia Airlines.
Malaysia Airlines.
Over Kuala Lumpur.
Over Kuala Lumpur.
Right. This is how we were saying this morning.
Thank God it's not an L-1011.
When you've been working with Jim Ward long enough, I start giggling at news stories.
Yeah.
I started giggling. It's a tragic story, but I was like,
it's Malaysia,
Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur. If all, I mean, if Mary Kay LaTourneau were on the flight, come on.
Mary Kay LaTourneau and her lover.
Right. Lily.
To Kuala Lumpur.
Ironically, we're on the Kuala Lumpur Malaysia Airlines flight. What the hell? This is the weirdest.
Of course, it's also been Kuala.
Excuse me?
Kuala Airlines.
Pardon me. Yeah, I couldn't. I was just transfixed. I try to tune news out when I'm on vacation, yeah. And I was just, this was the way. And I love that, like, you know, journalists, they have to, when the story starts, be like, well, there's no, you know, no signs of foul play yet. It's, really? You think? No? You don't think this seems a little off?
Someone turned off the
transponder.
Well,
yeah.
We know that now, but right. Like the first couple of days, we didn't know what happened.
Right.
And so it could have
Well, because it happens so often that
it could have crashed.
777 just goes missing. Right.
It's a big plane. It's kind of hard
right.
to lose.
Well,
right.
They were searching in a 4-hour radius, but then they said, oh, well, it could have flown 7 hours.
Right.
So that expanded it exponentially.
Right.
Exponentially.
And 7 hours means they could have gone to Kazakhstan.
Right.
Hmm. Nothing.
Right. So then there was speculation. Can you steal a plane that big? Could terrorists steal a plane?
And kidnap all the passengers.
Right. And then how do you like hide it? When you steal something, do you just paint over the Malaysia Airlines and like crudely? No, this was not the Malaysia Airlines plane. This is the
This
whatever.
Is not the plane you're looking for.
This is Kazakhstan Airlines.
It just crudely, just it looks tagged on the outside. What? This plane is not stolen. Falls out of the back of a truck, although it would have to be a really big truck. Just saying. But, yeah, what an... this story, I know, it was just day by day. So they obviously, it's deliberate. But yeah. The thing that I was
obviously, you know, I'm over it.
Right.
Thanks.
And Malaysian officials, not really, you know.
Well, Malaysian officials, not very helpful because they're a secretive government,
right.
If you will. And
how do you not know a giant plane's in your area?
Don't tell anybody we're a secretive government.
Well, they're also a proud
Chris,
government. And
don't
so they,
tell anyone they're a secretive government. What's wrong with you?
And they're a proud government, so they don't think they need any help.
They don't need any help.
And so they didn't ask for any help until it was pretty
Please
much...
Please don't tell anybody Malaysia is a secretive government. What's wrong with you?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but... I mean, obviously it was deliberate act, but I wondered, the first thing that came out with the stolen passports.
Yeah,
so you go, was it people on the plane with the stolen passports, but that doesn't seem to...
Yeah, they've kind of backed off of that.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously had to be pilots, whether it was these pilots or not.
That's what they're leaning towards.
By the way, how come whenever this happens, the pilots' friends and family, they're always the greatest guys ever. They love to cook, they're good with kids.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to see here.
Nothing wrong ever happened.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Unicorns and rainbows.
Yes, it's all farting unicorns, farting glitter.
Across the sky.
Right.
Or not.
Or not.
I found glitter in the ocean near Kuala Lumpur.
Certainly it's not. Although, we've been on vacation, so there has been tragedy plus time. Because I was going to say, it's not really a funny story. I'm just saying, it's the oddest story that you don't know.
We don't even know what the story is yet.
Right, exactly. But it was deliberate, obviously. And that's the thing. Of course, then they started talking about the other two cases of what they thought was pilot suicide. And is it pilot suicide or is it, you know, and if it's terrorism, normally someone claims responsibility by now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think. Remember when Egypt Air went
right.
down off the coast of
right.
Long Island?
Right.
And he was shouting Allah Akbar
yeah.
as he was
right.
pointing
the
plane
ocean.
into the
yeah.
ocean.
What does that mean, Chris? Is that suspect in some way?
Yeah, pilot suicide. So it's happened before.
Maybe the shirt sleeve got stuck on the throttle and he was asking for help. Maybe it was accidental.
From Allah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
No.
All right.
No.
Listen, I'm just spitballing here.
Spitballing over Kuala Lumpur.
Right, Malaysia
Airlines. Malaysia Airlines.
Incident. Yeah, a signaling system was disabled to the missing Malaysian Airlines jet before a pilot spoke to Malaysian air traffic control without him hinting at any trouble. He just said goodnight or whatever. You know.
Yep.
Yep, nothing more to see here. Good night.
Everything's fine.
That was the co-pilot that said that.
Right. And then the other thing, they were talking about how erratic the flight pattern is, right, mm-hmm. that it turned and clearly seemed designed to deliberately avoid radar and detection or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they were saying they went way up. Like mm-hmm. way, you know, much higher than they're, you know, than they're approved
right.
for.
Hmm.
But the one thing I read about that is they said it might have been to depressurize the cabin to make everybody on board unconscious so they couldn't text.
Oh, interesting.
That was one theory I heard, and I thought,
wow, they put some thought into that.
Well, the one thing I thought about that though is thank God if that's true. Thank God, at least, if they're unconscious.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being on this plane?
But
I mean, it's
when the plane depressurizes, the oxygen masks drop automatically.
Unless they countermand that from the cockpit. There's probably
right.
a way
okay.
of...
Right.
That's what I mean.
Keeping that from happening.
Yeah, exactly. Police had searched, as you were saying, the Kuala Lumpur domicile, Jim, of the flight's captain. I'm not even going to attempt
Leonard
the name.
Leonard Zahar.
Billy Fall.
No. Zahari Ahmed Shah and his junior co-pilot or first officer, Farik Abdul Hamid. Mm-hmm. All right, that wasn't so bad.
No.
The police did take the flight simulator that he has in his house that he kept at home.
Was he simulating flying to Kuala Lumpur?
Now, is this like one of those little computer flight simulators, or is it like a full-size?
It's probably not a full-size thing, but probably does have like a chair and throttles. And,
that
you
get into and see a movie on the screen? And
maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen a picture of it. But
a very large piece of equipment.
That is a pilot geek, seriously. Yeah. Hey, guys, want to come?
Hey, look, I'm flying a plane. Will you do that anyway?
Why do you want to do that? That's
you
a
do this
hobby?
In your time off?
The last
that's
thing
your
I
job.
Want to do is play radio when I'm at home.
I was just going to say, now that I have the home studio, that'd be like
look,
my
I'm pushing
parties.
Buttons.
I was down here pretending to do a radio show. What are you doing? Come on, pretend to do a radio show. Look, I have my...
It's the radio simulator.
Look, here, sit down.
God.
What? You do that for a living. Why do you want to do that?
Look, I'm on the radio.
All my friends will be like, does she call you to come do the pretend radio shows on the weekend? Really?
Get me a Marconi.
Look who we have as a guest today. It's Mailman Frank. Mailman Frank, sit down.
Boy band, come over.
Come on over. Sit down. It's my pretend radio shows I do on the weekends drunk. All right. So a lot to get to with all this stuff, because this is just... I mean, it's horrible, but it's sort of fascinating.
Yeah.
So I guess they're focusing. They think it's in the Indian Ocean.
Yep.
It flew for several more hours than they thought. So they, right, but it could be. Didn't somebody say when it dropped off civilian radar, though, military radar picked it up? That's why they have some idea where, what path it might have gone. I think that was the latest I was.
Maybe they just don't want them to know that they know.
Right. Just say, if you want to do anything sketchy, do it over Malaysian airspace is all I'm saying.
There you go.
Because they were saying, like, they didn't see it. They just, I mean, was it like Barney Fife is sitting?
No airplane was visible.
He just, like, turned the other way. What was that?
Oh, Andy!
Did you see anything? No.
Is that a big bird?
No. Missed that entirely.
A big old bot fly.
Who is on patrol over there, up in that shizzle? All right, so lots to get to. Oh, including, oh my God, that's an incredible vote in Crimea. Wow, that is amazing. It was almost like almost 100% that Kim Jong-un got. Did you know 100% of the people in North Korea voted for Kim Jong-un?
I think it was 110%.
Really?
It was 106%.
Weird.
Many of them were already dead.
There were sprites and fairies.
All right, so we are back from vacation. Hooray! 17 minutes after the hour, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Carbonite. How much do we love us some Carbonite? Our lives more and more reliant on our computers, right?
Right.
In order to keep up, we add new computer files, revise the old ones, totally dependent on those files being there when we need them. That's why all our computers need Carbonite online backup. Chris has a lot of, you know, simulated flight plans in there.
Absolutely.
His that he might want
to... In case he wants to fly the house. Over
right. Somewhere.
Kuala Lumpur.
Right.
In case I want to play radio.
Sure. Over 50,000 businesses trust Carbonite to back up your computer files. You mean your hobby's the exact same as your job? You're a geek. Even if you're backing up all your files with DVDs or thumb drives, it's not enough. You need the total backup solution that Carbonite gives. Carbonite, all those files encrypted, they're stored securely off-site. It offers affordable backup, home computers, business computers. Do it. Get it. Go to Carbonite.com now. Type in my offer code Stephanie. You get a free trial, no credit card required, plus 2 free bonus months with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. The offer code is Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Back in L.A., all back from vacation. We thank our replacement pilot, John Bugelstein, for flying the ghost plane safely into the show did not end up in the Indian Ocean while we were gone, and I think that
so
is
far.
A good thing. Well, right? Days early. It's St. Patrick's Day. We are already
drunk.
Yes. I have my green shirt that has a drinking on it as well.
I have no green on it, Todd.
I have no green on at all. It's hard to wear green when you get dressed at 4 in the morning.
Studio's green, too. So, you know.
Ish.
All right.
It's more like lemony. Baby poop.
We have our usual Monday
baby
show.
Poop yellow. Great.
Rude Pundit coming up, and of course Eric Bollert from Media Matters. Oh, and for the fine Americans at Free Speech TV and our listeners, another record-breaking fun drive last week while we were gone, and replacement pilot John Fugelsang was
right.
in. Thank you very, very much. Freespeech.org, by the way. Oh, and Jill Natan writes, when you're listing the other great shows on Free Speech TV, along with the Bill Press Show, Ring of Fire, Tom Hartman, Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, and yours, of course, please mention your buddy Natan's show, The David Pakman Show.
That's Natan's brother.
Is it your actual brother? What kind of nepotism is going on around here? Any of your other relatives have a show? Natan used to be on it when the show was in Massachusetts before David moved to New York and Natan came to you. I didn't know how we got Natan. I thought it was in a trade for an Anaheim duck, and then it was something about a, you know, TV director.
And a pick to be named that later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was in the, you know, witness protection program. I wasn't really sure. I'm a
You're
helper.
Just a figurehead.
I'm a helper, so I said yes.
Yeah.
It's a very sketchy background. David's on Free Speech TV, too, another great sexy liberal, as well as his show. Yay! Exactly. Help keep us all on Free Speech TV, won't you? All right. So anyway, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. We've been talking about what are we calling it now? It's not a ghost plane anymore. It's a, we don't know
because right. we don't know what happened.
Right. It seemed like a Scooby-Doo episode when I kept saying, ghost plane? Huh?
Earthquake. We are having an earthquake.
Wow.
We just had an earthquake.
Wow. That was holy. Freaky.
Wow.
And the house didn't fall on top of us.
That was your first earthquake.
Wow. Natan,
wow.
How was
baby's
that?
First earthquake.
I thought you were shaking it.
No.
I was going to say, stop that. What are you doing?
No, that was an earthquake.
Yep.
See how I automatically blame you for everything? Wow. I think Travis is screaming like
home.
A girl out
yeah,
there.
He is.
I can hear Travis screaming like a girl. Well, he has a rolly desk, so we should go.
Well,
Natan, see if he's okay. We probably should check on him. Oh, my God, that was weird. Okay. Hey, we're all still alive. Let's hope that wasn't a pre-tremor.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm like...
I know. We're on the bottom floor.
That's the biggest earthquake I felt in a long time.
Yeah.
Well,
we might have to skedaddle, everybody.
There was one off the coast of Northern California a few days ago. Right near the subduction zone where the Pacific plate dives underneath the North American plate. So that's David Bednarland up there, too. He's right near there.
Wow. And this could cause maybe the Fukushima radiation to come to wash toward us more quickly.
A little faster, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we can get a tsunami, a radioactive tsunami.
Wouldn't that be
fun.
Awesome?
Pre-radioactive for your...
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. At least we're not on the ghost plane.
That's true.
The Malaysian transport minister.
We're looking at large tracts of land. We're crossing 11 countries, as well as deep and remote oceans.
Yeah, they in some places stopped looking because they're like, all right, just tell us what you think. We're not doing it until you tell us where closer to where it might be. Because they're thinking, you know, like I was saying, but the route toward the Indian Ocean rather than the other way. Although the weight of I'm reading just from the, you know, all the latest, the weight of suspicion would inevitably fall on the pilots and other crew members. Investigators are following, obviously, established procedures and checking everyone on the missing plane. You can't rule anything out, said one, so everyone on the plane must be treated as a potential suspect. The thing a couple days ago everybody was talking about is soon after the plane disappeared, FBI agents and other American investigators scrubbed the names of the pilots and passengers, mm-hmm. including two Iranian men who traveled on stolen passports. Sounded a little fishy. Just saying. Don't mean to paint with a broad brush. To determine whether they had any connection to terrorists and found none. So that, so far, is the latest they have. Security, they mention on cockpit doors, has been reinforced so that forced entry would be difficult without the pilots having
like
ample time
to
send
a
warning signal.
Yeah. In charge the whole time.
Right. Well, that's what they're saying. We have to be careful about words and conclusions, examine all possibilities, but the likelihood that it was a pilot was involved appears very likely. And one thing we have found, as I said, in case after case, is pilots, family, and friends are always very, very huffy at the mere suggestion that their loved one, who inevitably loves children.
Let's just say a pilot decided to do a barrel roll
over
Kuala Lumpur.
Right. One of them not only played with neighborhood children, but bought their sports uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
So he could not possibly have flown a plane into the Indian.
Could not possibly have flown a plane.
Right. The Malaysian Airlines. into a... Okay. Right. We are not going to be able to stay away from the Tom Brokaw all morning because it's... Is that bad? Am I going to a special, like a hotter part of hell? That this is a horrible story, but I kept thinking, oh, my God, there's so many L's. Yay! I can't wait to see Jim.
I think that's what caused the earthquake.
It is. Yep. It's God going, you know what? Not funny.
Stop it.
This is hard. This is hard. Creating the universe. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Went to a St. Patrick's Day party last night, and every important Irish celebrity in Hollywood was there. Maureen O'Hara.
Stephanie Miller.
Dan O'Herlihy. Pat O'Brien.
I'm only 1/4% Irish.
1/4%?
My blood is...
1/4%?
1/4%.
You're 1/4 Irish.
Quarter.
That'd be 25%.
Yeah, okay.
25%.
You're drunk.
75% Chardonnay.
Irish whiskey.
Okay. Okay. I may be, but I do know that we did just have a 4.7 earthquake.
Yep. Send it to your Westwood.
You know what that proves, Jim? God is a USC fan. Okay.
No.
Because UCLA is in Westwood, yes.
Right? Uh-huh. And so I went to USC. Jim went to UCLA, for those of you that have just tuned in.
Yeah.
And my new house key
has
UCLA on it.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
That's but the guy, see what he did? He was a jokester. So he put the USC key down there instead of the UCLA thing.
That's funny.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, boy.
It's because I can't tell. I have so many keys that look exactly alike.
Yeah.
So,
see, now I'm going to have to get a maroon and gold pantsuit to wear tomorrow.
Oh, God.
I always did not want to be one of those 50-year-old women that showed up to the homecoming games in the maroon and gold pantsuits.
Wow.
Oh.
And now, because of Jim, I'm going to have to. People on Twitter are saying you could see it on Free Speech TV.
Apparently our cameras shook really bad.
Yes, around. There was just an earthquake.
Yeah, 4.7. Yeah.
You're right.
Center near Westwood, which is west of here.
That's why we left the TV on, so you can see that we're not lying. Because I told you, remember the big one, Northridge?
Yeah.
My mom, remember, did not, but when I called to tell her, she didn't believe me. She only believed because when she saw Katie Couric say it.
Mm.
Like, I called her right when it happened to say, Mom, there's been a major earthquake, I'm okay. And she was like, oh, dear, well, oh, okay. And then, like, later in the day, because then all the circuits went down, you couldn't call.
Right.
And so she finally reached me. She's like, oh, Steffi, I want to know if you're all right. I said, right. That's why I called you to tell you I'm all right. So I saw that Katie Couric on the Today Show said there's been a major earthquake. I was like, right. That's what I told you before Katie Couric told you. What do you think? A building fell on me after I told you?
It doesn't happen unless Katie Couric says it.
Right. Well, we were saying that's how we know there's been an earthquake in L.A. A lesbian appears on the television.
Yep, right.
Not this lesbian, a different
there's
one.
There's a seismologist at Caltech that they always go to.
Seismologist at Caltech who's a lesbian.
Not Ellen, not me. It's a different. She's,
it's been that way for 25
years.
No,
you don't even have to have sound on. You're like, oops, we've had an earthquake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that lesbian.
Well, whenever I'm out of town for an extended period, that's where the big earthquakes happen.
Yeah.
I was in Germany for Sylmar, and I was in Chicago for Northridge.
Uh-oh.
I turned on the TV and saw Sherman Oaks is on fire. And that's not good.
No, I'm on bedrock. We're on bedrock here. I think we should be okay. Because I was saying my old house, same thing. I had no damage. I just had spilled shampoo in the shower during the Northridge quake, and I was like, God, stupid earthquake. And then I turned on the TV, and all the buildings were
freeways were collapsed.
Right.
Yeah.
There's shampoo on the floor of my shower.
Right.
Pity me.
We will never forget.
We shall never forget that dollop of shampoo that never saw my hair. I'm a little me-centric. Okay. Hey, look at you.
Sleep of the rude pundit.
He's Lisa.
Pundit.
Papa, hold me. Hold me.
Oh, has Daryl Issa started an investigation to see how Obama is responsible?
Don't laugh. Of course, I saw the, did you see that cartoon with the Malaysia Airlines flight? You know, when it first started, you know, mechanical error, blah, 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 pilot, whatever. And then just the GOP going, it's Obama. Of course.
Yeah, of course. He's responsible for everything bad that happened.
Yeah, exactly. So rudeness, we just had a, 4.7? If we should have the big one while we're talking, I've always loved you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, is your house made of balsa wood? What?
No.
No, everybody felt, I mean, a lot of my friends who, sleep until noon, this one woke them up.
You know what? Our listenership is probably, woo, skyrocketing now. That'll teach you to sleep through our show. Get up.
It was just fun to see, Twitter all of a sudden, everybody on my Twitter feed that's in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, the earth just moved.
It was a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If you're still tweeting, you're okay.
Exactly. That's what's happened in our social media world, right? No matter what disaster, we'll still be tweeting. Rudeness, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Happy running of the stereotypes.
Yeah. But I was going to say, first of all, a couple of big things in the big gay stack today. The Guinness, will not be sponsoring the St. Patrick's Day Parade because of the exclusion of gay groups. And the Boston mayor.
That's right.
Did not march in the parade because of the exclusion of gay groups.
Right. I think it's just pathetic at this point for there to be this big parade that's this major tourist attraction for various cities. And for them to say, we're going to exclude a group if they're open about it. They're still at Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
The Irish pride community.
Yeah.
Right. Did you, who is it, while we were gone, the attorney general in Kentucky, did you see that?
What?
He was, he's not going to defend their, marriage, the gay, anti-gay ban, and he started crying, He's a straight man crying, and something heavy did not fall on him. He was crying for everyone's right to
love. Nobody thinks he's straight now.
Well, all right.
Especially in Kentucky.
Right.
Crying when something heavy falls on you in Kentucky.
He might as well be drinking mineral water in Kentucky.
Still makes you a light loafer.
That's it.
Because I was reading your, I enjoyed your last post, but the follow-up of shut the up and bake the cake. And you actually went to the website of the cakery of Indianapolis that this was part of this whole suit, right?
Yeah, 111 Cakery. There was no lawsuit. They weren't part of a lawsuit or anything. But they declined to bake a cake for a gay couple having a commitment ceremony, citing their religious beliefs. And even though they're willing to take gay money for other things, like if you just want, a nice cupcake, they'll take your gay money. But if you want them to design one of those, crazy fondant-covered cake things.
What is fondant?
I don't know. Is it edible?
Yes, it is. It is made out of almond paste.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
So it's marzipan. They're covering their cakes in marzipan.
Pretty much, yeah.
yummy.
Or Play-Doh. It's Play-Doh.
Who made the joke that pretty much every wedding cake looks gay? I don't know. What the deal is.
So, and he said, so it wasn't even a wedding. You know, it was because Indiana doesn't yet allow for gay marriage. But they took a stand and they went on their Facebook page and said, you know, they took the artistic tactic, which is we couldn't feel inspired to do a nice cake, and we felt like that would be not good for our customers if we just didn't feel inspired.
It makes you gay if you make a gay cake.
Yes, right. Yeah, right. You'll get infected by gayness from the sugar coming out of the tube.
So I feel if you know what fondant is, you may already be gay.
Well, I knew.
Oops.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, there you go. I have no response to that.
I hate to paint you with a rainbow pastry brush.
Yeah, you know. It happens.
You know, if you know, when you're squeezing something that looks like...
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, okay.
We don't know.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, that's enough.
when you're glazing the cake, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite ongoing Rude Pundit series, of course, is Your State Sucks. In this case, Your State Sucks, Missouri legislature busy debating laws to shut down its one abortion provider. That's nice.
Yeah. Isn't it? First of all, I mean, this is seriously, they're down to one abortion provider in the entire state of 6 million people. And it's a Planned Parenthood in St. Louis. Which means that that all of those areas of the Ozark Mountains that are there, no services for women there, and you know it's real easy for them to get to St. Louis, or is it St. Louis? I never know.
Who can say?
Only if Judy Garland.
Yeah, only if Judy Garland's around, then it's St. Louis.
And now we're magically back to gay. Yeah. Now,
and Jim said
friends
that one.
Of Judy. Jim.
But the legislature is debating laws that they're probably going to pass. I mean, the House has passed some of them that are targeting really this one abortion provider in Missouri.
Yeah.
Not only needing the permission of one parent, but that at least 5 days before an abortion procedure on a minor, the second parent needs to be notified. So essentially putting in a 5-day waiting period for minors. Which is always safe to do.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, if a father has abandoned you, that'll be real easy to get the notification. Insane stuff. A 72-hour waiting period for everybody else, which only two other states have passed and it's being challenged. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Speaking of insane, let's talk ghost plane. Jim, look, guess who's taking lead in searching for the Malaysian airline? Australia.
Australia is searching for that Kuala Lumpur-bound airline.
Right.
At this point, if it's not UFOs, I'm just going to be pissed off.
No, it's got to be aliens. Come on.
You want to know what's going to make it go erratically up and down and all over the place, pinging things everywhere? UFO.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I've had everybody speculate everything possible, right? Like that, oh no, they're going to find it, it's somewhere and everybody's on it still. Yeah. Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, you've got everything from Lost to...
Right. What? It's a smoke monster.
Right. Yeah, did you see that there was a...
Maybe
British
it's part of that new series, Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all naked and afraid somewhere.
Somewhere in Kazakhstan, sure. Which is... Generally not a good place to be naked or afraid.
No.
No, definitely not.
They really should call it dirty, naked, and afraid.
Dirty, naked, afraid, and airborne.
Just like a virus. All right. I love you, Rude Pundit. I've missed you so.
Oh, same thing. Welcome back.
Thank
you.
And
I hope that your house is standing next week.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Appreciate that. All right. There he goes. His rudeness.
Oh.
Hooray. All right. Lots of folks with lots of speculation about them. Malaysian.
That's all CNN is doing, so why not us?
What?
That's all CNN is doing.
Oh, my God. Except they had a toy plane. Did you see
really?
It?
Really?
Oh, CNN. Come on.
Oh.
See, they had a toy plane. This is how you know there is too much there's too much airtime to fill in the United States.
I'd rather
watch
Wolf Blitzer sort of waving his arms.
I want to see how Jane Velez Mitchell is covering it.
The toy plane. This is what we think happened. Really, CNN? Oh, my God. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
I get it.
Yeah.
What the hell? We've been downgraded already to a 4.4 earthquake? Just when we were bragging about our 4.7?
That's a quake for pussies.
Oh, for God's sake. Was it the Russian judge?
East German judge.
Somebody asked us, can Natan play when the quake hit the show? We'll replay that tomorrow.
Yeah, during one of our breaks.
When the quake hit the show, and I blame Chris, as I often do.
You did.
I seriously did. I thought with your giant man muscles, you were shaking the thing or something.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. You're a man. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So yeah, we did. We had a we just had an earthquake.
Yep.
And it was it was scary.
It was about a half hour ago.
It was scary.
Yep.
Exactly. And we realized that Travis will be the one to go first.
Yeah.
Because he's in a little cubby hole beneath the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the gnome that lives beneath the stairs, and everything will pancake.
Yep.
He thinks it's structurally more sound there. His little corner.
Yeah. He'll scream
in his own little chair.
Well, did you hear him screaming like a girl out there?
Yeah, he was screaming. It was in like a brony does.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to kill you during the next break.
Listen, I've only been back for 5 minutes. Henry in Denver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Henry.
Good morning. How are you,
good,
Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I'm retired military, 30 years, Navy.
Ooh.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
I could barely hear you. pardon me. I feel that...
Wow, your phlegm is coming through loud and clear. Just let me let you know on this end.
Unfortunately, the fact is those pilots were known to bring young ladies into their cockpit.
Right, one of them. One of them was, right.
And when I was in the military during Vietnam, in that area, the hookers knew where we were going before we knew. Mm-hmm. Where we were going.
Oh, I see.
So, and I believe that that information was given out, and that they were taken over, and I believe that they were put into taken to a small airfield somewhere, put into a hangar, and
really?
A bomb put on the thing.
Wait,
that's my thinking.
Oh, wait, you think someone
There's
put a bomb?
There's a lot of areas around there with remote airfields all
right
over
now,
the place
can happen.
That can be used.
Right now, yeah. Okay. Anything can happen.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Explain how the hookers knew where you were going before.
That's a good question.
The hookers with
probably
the bombs.
Because somebody's running their mouth.
Oh. Oh. All right. Okay. Thanks. Cockpit sounds dirty already. Yeah. So.
And hookers have bombs.
See, this is what I love about a story like this, because it just makes people go bat. It's awesome. Okay, Cindy in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Cindy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I want to know you start my morning the right way. You guys crack
with an earthquake.
Up.
Right.
My comment is, I saw pilot number one on the news. I guess it was a still photo because he was already in the air, but his simulator was like three or four computer screens, and he was turned around facing the camera, smiling like the butcher's dog. And it looked a little sinister to me.
Hmm.
And that's my comment on it. I didn't like the looks of it. You know, they said, sometimes they want to learn how to go to an airport they've never touched on in and make maneuvers. But I don't know. It sounded a little fishy to me. And
I would like to congratulate you for the phrase, smiling like the butcher's dog, because that
Oh, thank you. That's
I have
my
not
flying
heard.
Pittsburgh Penguins. I stole that from him.
All right. Thank you. That was spectacular. Smiling like the butcher's dog. Well, everybody looks guilty in retrospect. When you already
passengers.
Think they did something, you're like, oh, yeah. That
All the passengers look guilty.
We just were focusing on the geekitude aspect of it, because we were saying it would be like me pretending to do a radio show all day.
Yeah.
After you guys are gone and no one's listening. So it would be my job and my hobby. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It makes it a jobby.
It's just weird. I'm not saying I didn't do it when I was out of work for a while with cardboard cutouts like in, you know, King of Comedy. But I'm just saying, now that I have a job, technically, why would I have to? Okay. Why would it also be my hobby? Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, baby.
You know the reason the plane went disappeared?
Why is that?
Obamacare.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And you know where it went to?
Where?
Kenya.
Benghazi.
I sense that Tommy prepared some jokes this morning.
Yeah.
For our return. Isn't that cute?
Aww.
People miss us and they prepare little homecoming gifts.
Maybe Daryl Issa stole the plane.
It didn't have the LoJack kind of thing he invented. What the hell did he invent?
No, it was the alarm.
Viper right. Alarm. Oh, there was no Viper alarm on the plane.
Step away from the car. Yeah, step away from the car.
And it's the alarm that has like eight different sounds in a row.
See? No Viper on the Malaysian Airlines jet. There you go.
And proof that that hasn't worked out is we didn't hear it after the earthquake.
Right. Because
that's the only purpose of that thing, to tell, hey, we just had an earthquake.
Yeah. That'd be funny if pilots had that, like they locked the plane. Okay, locked. No one get in. Vic in Minnesota. Hi, Vic.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Well, you know what? Just because the guy has simulators in his house doesn't make him a nutcase. It's like saying when you go home and you look at your ratings every day, oh, you're nutty for looking at those. Yeah, just because
I don't look at my ratings every day. I don't care.
Oh, okay. Well,
people listen, they don't. Who cares?
But here's what we do know. Now, nobody has said anything about this, and I'm a pilot. Okay, you fly out, and if you notice by the animations on CNN, 24-hour coverage of this event, you notice the animation where he started his turn back. Well, that's called an equal time point. The first day this happened, I knew this was a problem. This was probably a hijacking or a pilot control takeover. Because if you look at the animation, the turn back point is right at what we call an equal time point. That means you have a choice to continue on,
right,
or the choice to turn back. But what happened was, and I think you'll ultimately find out, it's not the guy with the simulators. If there's anybody, it's the UFO. What happened? They turn the transponder off. And the captain inquired to the UFO, hey, why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And now a fight ensued in the cockpit for takeover. Now you have a turn back towards Malaysia. And now the fight, ultimately, the captain wasn't successful. Now the UFO.
Oh, you think it was a fight between the pilot and the co-pilot?
Yeah, a fight.
Oh, only one of them wanted to. Okay. But what? You're basing that on what?
Say again?
Well, just the way he just explained it.
Oh, okay. Well, explain it. Re-explain it. I got lost.
I think he's just making up.
Okay.
Much like CNN. Wild speculation.
they could be like the fighting, announcers in airplane.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no parking. There's no diverting in Legion Airlines.
That is not true. You just want me to get an abortion.
Oh, my God. Now I'm hoping we find the voice recorder, Jim, and it was a big gay fight.
I'm not talking to you. I have the airplane. No, you can't have it.
It's mine. Get up. Stop it. Stop touching me. Oh, my God. Will we? Will we get a voice recorder eventually if they find the whole black box or whatever?
I hate you on your ass face.
You're a bastard person. Give me this plane back.
And it ends with a slap fight.
Stop it. Ow!
Stop it.
Not the face.
Not in the face.
Ow! It's Steven. It's Lennon. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Heavens. Okay. We're back from vacation. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back.
This is like a show right before vacation.
Right?
What is wrong with us?
We need some more rest. Okay, right back with Eric Bollard on the Stephanie Miller Show.